You'll see. Say to gentlemen, we haven't been together for a while.
We were,
so I was debating what to speak about this morning.
We were withdrawal.
Pardon?
We're going into withdrawal.
I hope not. I hope not. Even if you're not learning with me, I'm sure you're learning. All right, gentlemen. We got to the end of the book of Bereshit. We got to the end of the book that is the very foundation upon which we all function. These are the forefathers. This is how we all started out, and we all continued from there on forward. There's many events that happened between Yosef's death at the end of this week's Parsha and us sitting here in the year 2009 on the very, very era of 2010. But every year we go through it and we see where we came from. And at the end of his life, Yaakov is confronted with what I believe is the most important, vital moment of any parent's life. And that is the following moment. There was once a rabbi, who shall remain nameless, who was very scared of death. Extremely scared of death. He never did any levayas, because he was a Kohen, so they got out of that pretty easily. And ultimately, he didn't like going to visit hospitals. Now, anybody knows that any job description of a rabbi will include visitation of the sick. So, he was a very successful rabbi, and yet, he had a problem.
As a Kohen, he had an out there, too.
Mm-hmm. He had a problem. He had a very big problem.
Do rabbis do this in Israel?
Yeah, they should at least. And the bottom line is that being who he was, it was a very problematic thing. And one day it all changed. One day he started to visit the sick, and one day he started to go more to shiva homes, and it was fine. And I asked him, well, what changed? I mean, I remember you really shying away from it. He was not a stupid rabbi. He made a committee for Bikur Cholim, and he made a committee to go visit those who are sitting shiva. But the bottom line was, he couldn't do it. He emotionally couldn't do it. And one day it all changed. And I asked him, why? What changed? And his answer was great. He said, I had my first grandchild. Anybody understand what he said? So what do you mean you had your first grandchild? What does that have to do with visiting the sick? He said, the minute I had my first grandchild, I understood that even when I die and I'm no longer going to be here, there's someone that continues the legacy. And that's what I believe is happening in this week's Parsha. This is the end of the book of Bereshit. This is the last message we're going to get about how to ultimately run a family. The minute we get to Sefer Shmot, we're talking about a nation. We're talking about national needs, national crises, national challenges. The book of Bereshit is us. It's our family. It's our little home. And at the end of the book, Yaakov is confronted with Ephraim and Menashe. And they come into his room where he's sitting on his deathbed. And ultimately, he gives them the following bracha. Hamalach hagol eloti. You all know the beautiful words. We say with our kids at night when we put them to sleep. V'yikare vahem shmi v'shem avotai Avraham v'yitzchak. What do those words mean? That their my name shall be in them. V'yikare vahem shmi. What does it mean? They're going to name their kids after him. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean? Very good. Let's say it literally. I will see myself in my grandchildren. What does it mean, I will see myself in my grandchildren? I will look at my grandchildren and I will see the legacy that I brought into this world. Now, how does that play out practically? Practically, when you look at grandchildren, you look at grandparents, there's a huge gap between them. The grandparents, what's for them considered a Shabbos meal? Gefilte fish, chopped liver with schmaltz, and egg challah. The grandchildren already live in this world. They know what cholesterol is. They know what clogged arteries are. They're not going to eat schmaltz. And believe me, chopped liver maybe once a month. They may eat turkey. Did they ever hear about turkey in the old country? Hardly. They're going to eat salad. Your grandparents from Eastern Europe had a salad. They had potatoes, and they had radishes, and they had onions, and that was the end of their salad. They didn't have tomatoes and cucumbers. So what correlation is there between the two? The answer is very simple. When they eat the salad or they eat the schmaltz, they're both saying the same thing on their lips, or they're thinking it in their minds. It's lichvot Shabbos. They make the same bracha before. It could be that it's a different dress, but it's the same lady. It could be it's a different man. The face doesn't look the same. The suit doesn't look the same. The tie doesn't look the same. But ultimately, it's the same thing. It's a constant tradition going through of me seeing myself in my grandchildren. And this will explain to you all the events that happened prior. Yaakov asks Ephraim and Menashe to come in with Yosef, and he says they're going to be like the Shvatim. Right? Ephraim and Menashe, Ke'uven v'Shimon yiyu li. Oh, beautiful. And then he says, they're like me. Then all of a sudden he starts a whole story that when he came home from Padan, his wife Rachel, his beloved wife, died, and he buried her right outside of Ephrat. And then, Vayar Yisrael et b'nei Yosef, Vayomer mi eile. Then he, Yaakov sees the two kids and he asks, who are these? What kind of question is that? He just said 2 minutes ago what? You're my sons. So, common wisdom would say, what does Yaakov suffer from?
Alzheimer's.
Makes sense, right? He was sickly, he was in bed, he's dying. He doesn't recognize them. 2 minutes ago, he gave them amazing, amazing bracha. You're like the Shvatim. You're going to get a nachala in Eretz Yisrael. Now he looks at them, he doesn't know who they are. And Yosef answers, Banayhem asher natan li Elohim bazeh. These are my children, who God gave to me here. And Yaakov answers, Kachem la elai v'avarachem, bring him closer to me, and I'll bless him, and he gives him this bracha. You know what's really happening here? I don't think Yaakov had Alzheimer's. Maybe he did, but that's not what's happening in the pasuk. What I think is very simple. He looks at Ephraim and Menashe. They're not dressed like Israelis, they're dressed like Egyptians. He's looking at them, he's saying, these are my grand... There's nothing between us, I don't even know if they know Hebrew. I bet you Yosef had to be the interpreter between Yaakov the father and Ephraim and Menashe the grandchildren. And he looks at them and he says, are you with me? Or are you a totally new entity? And what does Yosef answer? These are my kids that God gave me here in Egypt. We are living in Egypt now. They look like Egyptians. But God gave me these kids here, meaning they are still Jewish kids, thus they look Egyptian. They are still Jewish kids, they look Peruvian. They are still Jewish kids, they look South American. They look like Americans. They look like Mexicans. They are still Jewish kids. When you take away all the peels, you'll still see, at the very essence, these are Jewish kids. And that, I believe, is the challenge of our generation. Every year when we finish Bereishit, we have to ask ourselves, our kids don't look like us. Our kids don't have the same interests as us. For me, a good TV show, if I have to relax at night, what do I watch? I can't watch TV because I grew up with sitcoms in the 80s in America, and for me those are TV shows. The Cosby Show, All in the Family, these are TV shows for me. My kids have no idea what I'm talking about. My kids, for them,
you gotta show them Star Trek.
Star Trek, but which Star Trek? For me,
original.
It's Spock, right. And it's Kirk. Captain Kirk. They have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's my kids. If I could see myself through them, then I have succeeded. If there is absolutely no resemblance, I don't mean externally, but internally, then we got a problem. And that's exactly the wish of every single parent or grandparent. And that's the way you overcome death. And that's the way, ultimately, you understand that you didn't live for nothing. If you can say the Yikarei Vahem Shmi and actually mean it. Yeah, they're eating turkey, I eat chicken. My grandparents eat schmaltz, I have mayonnaise. But we're both eating the meal with Chavot Shabbos. True! There's different dishes. There's different things you eat. There's different interests. There's different TV shows. There's different games today. But if the essence remains the same, then ultimately when you take away the peels, it's still at the very core the same family. And just like your blood type, your DNA can be traced back, so too your legacy, your beliefs, your principles, the way you live, could be traced back. If it can't, we have no future. If it can, we have a beautiful future. It could be that 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, a good rabbi would ultimately give a great lecture and he would tape it so the wider world would hear it. How would he tape it?
On his tape recorder.
On a tape recorder, right? There was a tape. I showed my kids the other day what a tape looked like. They were amazed with the film inside. My son, my 3-year-old, took out the whole thing because he right away started, and that was the end of the tape. They never saw a tape before. Today, here, look what we're taping it on. This fits in your pocket. What changed? It's the same Torah. It's the same Parshanut. It's the same ideas. It's maybe formulated differently. It's translated differently to a new generation, but it's the same Torah. It's CDs and DVDs. It's not tapes and VC and video cassettes.
You talk to your kids in English? You talk to them in English?
Yes.
So it's the same language?
Ultimately, go back 50 years. You know what a tape recorder used to look like? You needed 10 people to bring it into the room to tape yourself. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's different. But it's the same Torah. The difference just is in the manifestation of it. That's the wish, and that's the legacy that we have to gear towards. If we can ultimately say V'yikarev Hashem Shmi, we have succeeded. If we can't, we got a very big problem. I'll just end with a fascinating story. A fascinating story that I believe is one of the most amazing ones that I've personally been exposed to. There's a gentleman I know, I'm very close with, I love him very much. He was not a member of my shul, but we're very close. And he grew up making fun of religion. When he saw people fasting on Yom Kippur, he would say, "Why don't you come into my house and have a bite?" Mamish a dafkinik. Okay? He took pride when orthodoxy was hit. He loved it. Well, I met him recently. We had a beautiful chat. And I said, "How are your children?" And we're talking about children that, just like their father said, intermarriage, no such thing. They both married Jews. Mazel. He has Jewish grandchildren today. And he says, he kvelled. I go, "What did you kvell on?" I heard them say Shema. I said, "You emotionally kvelled when you heard them say Shema? I can't believe it. Why? You, Mr. Make Fun of Religion. How did you kvell when you heard your kids say Shema?" Maybe you heard your kids, I don't know, recite some sort of a beautiful passage from Shakespeare. He's a big reader. What does one have to do with the other? And his answer was beautiful. He said, "Well, I sent my kids to Hebrew school and they learned Shema. And now my grandchildren are saying Shema. So I could see there's a consistency, there's a continuation. There's no continuation in anything else. He's in one profession, his kids are in a different profession. Okay, he designed his home one way, their kids designed the home another way. He lives in X and his kids live in Y. How does he relate to his kids? Through Shema." Gentlemen, this I believe is the secret of our existence. This I believe is the very essence of who we are, if we can come out and say V'yikarev Hashem Shmi.